Hello, everyone. I want to thank you today for tuning in again to the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good and He is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. Our God has great things to do and say. He has a great plan. And as we trust Him and as we learn to trust His word, we enter into that plan. See, when you believe on Jesus Christ as your Savior, your Lord, and you take Him at His word, that's when your life begins to transform. What did you do when you believed on Jesus Christ? You left a kingdom and went to another one, even if you didn't take a step, because your faith transfers you into the kingdom of God. And you have now the ability, according to your faith, to live no different than those that are in heaven now. Remember, when we believe God, it's always according to the measure of our faith. The just will live by his faith. The Lord provided healing and redemption, but we receive that healing according to our faith. If our faith is little, the healing we receive will be little. If we measure the word of God big and we receive it big, we get totally healed. It's that simple. I asked the Lord about that. I said, Lord, it seemed like people have struggled to get healed. I said, what can we, you know, I was just asking him about that. How, you know, healing is provided, but sometimes we struggle to be healed, for it to take fruition in our life. And all the facts on the ground are changed. The facts in our body are changed according to our desire. And he said this to me. He said, healing is as easy as picking fruit off a tree. If you can receive it that way, it's as easy as picking fruit off a tree. The Lord did not make it hard. But it's just like taking Canaan land for the Jews. See, God gave them Canaan land, but they had to go take it. They had to remove the people on that land, drive them out, because they were witches. They were wicked people. And they were going to destroy the earth like Sodom and Gomorrah would have. But instead of God doing it, they had to do it. God gave them that land and they had to drive those people out. In Sodom and Gomorrah, it was so wicked that the Lord did it. But this time they had to do it. The enemy was trying to stand in the way of them receiving their blessing. These people were satanic that they had to drive out. Now, disease is a satanic attack. You believe Jesus, he's trying to interfere with your faith. So you don't have to do any work to be healed. Jesus did the work. In all other cases of faith, you have to do the work, except for salvation and healing. With healing, you have to believe for your healing and stand on that word. If you can do that, you can change the facts in your body or the facts in somebody else's body. And then the Lord gives the anointing to pastors that obey him and ministers. And, you know, he'll anoint people with the gift of healing. And they work according to, you know, the way God anointed them for that gift to heal. My pastor, he heals when the anointing comes. It comes on him for a specific thing. And he has a word of knowledge of the symptom and the problem. And he'll ask anybody have a problem with his shoulder, for instance. That day, my shoulder was hurting. Didn't know why. I walked up and he laid hands on me. He felt the anointing go in. I didn't. But from that time, my shoulder got better and I found out I was able to use my right arm just like I always did. Sometimes it's cancer or some other foul disease. He lay hands on people and they go back to the doctor and there's no trace of it. Now that's an anointing. But every believer can believe for his healing by faith. So when we take God on any of his promises and we believe it, we can receive it because our lives have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Now, when good people struggle to be healed, sometimes preachers preach excuses. They don't have a right to do that. We don't have to give God a back door. We can take him at his word, and he will honor it 100% of the time. So the problem is on our end, believing his word. You have to take it to the next level. You have to start believing, and we take our place in the kingdom by studying the word, hearing it, and doing it. Studying the word, believing it, receiving it, hearing it, until we can believe it and then do it. It always works. For every situation, God didn't leave us with a blank spot. All of his word can solve our concerns. The scientists look at the world and they're trying to, you know, a lot of scientists try to, they don't believe what God said in his word. They're looking at the creation he made and they're going to say, and they're trying to, and sometimes they try to prove that he don't exist. And sometimes some scientists say, well, maybe he does exist, but they try to prove it by nature. God made everything. It has his signature on it. His love is in it. Our food tastes good. He gave us beautiful things to look at, beautiful sounds, even with the birds and the insects, the sounds they make, it's all good. There are many good things. There are bad things too, because of our sin. See, the earth was altered from the time God made it because of sin. But some things still remain good. And then when they're looking at when they carbon date things, they forget that they're studying a battlefield. Something happened before God made Adam. The word of God solves every concern. If you're bold enough to look for it in the scriptures, the Holy Spirit can guide you where you need to be to answer your concerns. So always seek God as your first and last resort. Because when what you do by faith, that's how you access what God has given you in the kingdom. Remember, you're not in the kingdom of darkness anymore if you believed on Jesus Christ. And if you say, well, my religion don't observe Christ. The only way to get in the kingdom of God is through Jesus Christ. If your religion excludes Christ, then you're not in the kingdom of God. The enemy has lied to you to keep you troubled, to keep you down, because other religions do nothing about your sin, and you can't go in God's presence with sin. And the Lord changes your heart when you believe on Jesus Christ. He gives you a brand new heart. And then you have to fill your heart with the word of God and access the kingdom of God, which he gave you. It all comes together in a package. But the way you access it is through his word, because the just shall live by his faith. Habakkuk told the truth. The just shall live by his faith in the promises of God, in the things that God said, not Satan, not a lying prophet. Now, we're going to continue with end times. God is mightily moving by his spirit, and he's always up to something good. His word is always true, and he loves us. He wants us to go forward. He wants us to seek him. He wants us to know him, and we can. Now, in that, the Lord wants to train us. He wants us to know him. Daniel said in chapter 11, he said, those that do know their God will do exploits. He didn't say those that are educated, those that had a good pastor. He didn't even say those that got saved. But we know that those that know him, they did get saved. Because you can't know him unless you get saved. But the defining thing that made difference from the people that barely got along and those that did exploits, well, they knew their God. And they knew him by his word. Not what some man said, but by what Jesus said. Because Jesus was not just some man. He was 100% man and 100% God. He is the word of God. Now look, this is James chapter 3. It says, verse 15, this wisdom, verse 16. Let me start at verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Now, if you love your house, if you're a father and you love your children, you set the pace of what they will do. If you learn to live by faith, that's what they'll pick up, and they won't have so many hurdles to jump. They'll get to know God faster with less resistance from the world, and they can become much stronger. But if you don't trust God in life, and they see you do things that are off balance, if they see you fear, they learn to fear. If they see you doubt, they learn to doubt. And so it is with churches. If you're a pastor and you really want to make a difference and you want people to love God and go forward like you know they can, remember, James chapter chapter 3, verse 17, it says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. You have to make adjustments. You have to spend time in the Lord's presence. Many pastors don't even pray much. But prayer, if you're doing all the talking in prayer, that won't even work right. We have to be teachable if we want our congregation to be teachable. And you have to live according to the wisdom of God so that the word can be sown in their hearts. Now, I'm going to share something with you the Lord taught me in 06. Tithe. A lot of churches are not growing because of the tithe. See, new converts don't always tithe. Some people are double-minded about it. Some people are not sure about it. And if the church is small, a lot of times pastors get in strife over the way the congregation tithe. And if there's strife there about anything, but it can be over tithing, they want to go forward, but the people just won't tithe. And they get in strife with them. The word, it hinders the word from being sown, because the word of God is sown in peace. Now, this is wisdom. This is what God showed me. And you feel like you can't go forward because of them. And it would be better if they did. But first things got to be first. If people are going to tithe, remember, tithe is worship. We tithe after another order. We don't tithe after the Levitical order. That was a commandment. Ours is love-based. Ours is worship. If people don't tithe, just be wise enough and don't be in strife with them. That it's not going to stop the plan of God. If God called you to do something, he has a plan. And it's independent of what other people do. Until people get on board, you may have to work. You may have to do something else. You may have to, that you're not doing. But make it happen without getting in strife. And don't count on people for nothing. Because if you get in strife, it's going to hinder the way you minister to them. It's whatever the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak, and it will offend people. And when you offend them, then they can't receive from you. I don't encourage anybody to make a big deal out of money. Because God loves his people. Feed his people. When they get strong and they get wise, they'll tithe, because in the right way. Did you know that if you don't tithe by faith and if it's not worship and it's not by love, God don't really receive it. He don't receive everybody's tithe because some people, they tithe in strife. They're trying to impress the pastor. It's not even worship. If tithe is not worship, God will not receive it. Now remember, the Levites didn't get land. And every tribe, they were commanded to tithe. And guess what? It's an everlasting covenant. It'll never stop. In the millennium, after Jesus come back, they still got to tithe after that order. But the church is different. We do it by worship. The word is sown in peace. In other words, your love has to be stronger. Because people are not going to do what they're supposed to do. They're going to make mistakes. They're going to see things different. They're going to do things different. But if the leadership will do it God's way, they have a much greater chance of transforming their congregation. Some things must be in place before we can go forward. And with that, we have to be just as teachable to God. We have to learn from the Lord just like we want people to learn what God is saying through us. We have to do these things. It's important. Remember, you will bear fruit after your kind. And the only way to change your kind is to receive God's word and do it. When you receive God's word and do it, you're always changing the kind of fruit that you're going to bear. Matthew chapter 7 says, a good tree cannot bring forth good fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. I'm sorry. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that brings not forth good fruit is cut down and cast to the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know. So it is with pastors and preachers and apostles and prophets and parents and even teachers in a classroom setting. If you bear good fruit yourself, if you're honoring God with your life, you're going to produce fruit that honors God with their life. If you're the kind of person that hold back from God, you're going to produce people that hold back from God. If you allow strife in you, you will produce fruit that allows strife in them. These things cannot be worked. Everything hinges on the way you handle the word of God, the way you handle your life, your final decisions, your determinations. You love God, you want to honor God, but you have a problem with doubt. If you don't kill that problem with doubt, just like the Israelites were supposed to kill and drive out the Canaanites, that's going to be a problem, and that's going to alter your kind. That's going to alter your fruit. If you want to change the course of your family, your ministry, or whatever you do, even your business, you got to do it God's ways. You got to do God's ways 100% of the time. And the kingdom of God, they'll see the kingdom of God in action. And they'll want in. People are not dumb. Children, it's easy for a child that grew up in a house full of faith. They think it's normal to believe God and be healed. I've seen it with my own eyes. I've seen my own children do what I never would have done as a child. I've seen other people's children. They're people of faith in their children. They think it's normal. And it is. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's why the enemies fight. He fights you so intensely to keep you from knowing these things. See, as we do the word of God, we transform in a negative world. He didn't wait till we go to heaven to learn these things. We're learning it in negativity. We're learning to live by light in a dark world. Anyway, And while we're trying to learn God's word, the enemy is trying to hinder us. Even fellow believers will give you bad advice because they didn't grow up. We got to be wise in all that we do. See, the word of God is good. In James chapter 3, I'm going to go a little bit ahead of verse 17. Let's start at verse 1. It says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offended not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. But we put bits in the horses' mouths that we may that they may obey us, and we turn about the whole body. Behold, also the ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, the rudder. Whithersoever the governor listeth, or wherever the captain wants to go. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasts great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defiles the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature. It is set on the fire of hell. Now that's a world-based tongue. That's the world-based training. It's set on the fire of hell. It has nothing to do with the word of God. Verse 7, for every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and has been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison, wherewith we bless God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Now watch verse 14. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your heart, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Now, if you want to get rid of envy and strife and every evil work, get rid of the envy and the strife. And every evil work cannot follow that strife. And that's why it's so important. You got to decide not to be offended by people. You got to understand, if you were dealing with angels, you could expect not to be offended. But you're dealing with people whose mindsets are shaped by the iniquity of this contrary world. And it's not even their fault sometimes. Sometimes it's just the way they were raised. If you know anybody from a very large family that was poor, I'm going to show you, there are some things that I noticed that they do. They talk louder than normal. Not putting them down, this is just something that, because there were many people in one house and they had to get their point across. So it's in their habit system to talk loud. And they refused as a child to be poor when they get grown. They hold on to things. They don't throw things away. They save. and they're cautious that if they give anything, they're cautious about it. These are some of the things that I've watched. Because that was the pattern that was set forth. They're just trying to live. They don't mean any harm when they overtalk you. That's just that. That's the way it is. So in life, you got to decide not to be offended about the little things that could trigger offenses. Because if you let it get to you, it will. Verse 13, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. It's better to be wise than to be foolish. Then he said, but if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Just get rid of the strife. Decide, speak with your mouth. I love that person. I will not be offended by that, by what they do. Even though I feel it hurts me. I forgive them, Satan. I forgive them. Whatever they said or did, they did it. But I love them anyway and mean it. And then ask the Lord to show you how to help the situation. And be patient about it because it's going to take a long time. It takes time for people to transfer out of the kingdom of darkness. It takes time to receive the word of God in place of the ugly things of darkness. But people can do it faster if they have a leader that walks in love. And you can always explain things at the right time. Sometimes you don't explain things too fast. Wait till you have the unction of the Holy Spirit. Teachable moments. When the Lord alerts you and show you teachable moments, use them. And tell Satan he can't interfere when there is a teachable moment. Because time you got the right setting to tell somebody something, the enemy will send some loudmouth up to interrupt the conversation. You have to be wise. You tell Satan that he can't interfere when you're having a moment with somebody. And the Lord has given you something to say. Tell Satan he can't send the loudmouth over there. I do it all the time. When somebody open up and tell me something that's going on in their life, under my breath I say, Satan, you can't interfere right now in Jesus' name. And I get my point across. And they get the change. And there are many people that's even Christians. Time Satan pull their string, they're going to go off like the little car, the little toy car with the pull string. You pull that string, and there they go. Even Christians. Some Christians have no wisdom when it comes to things like that. They want to, they're thinking about themselves. That's how people are until they learn better. But you have to decide not to be offended with people. He said, but if you have envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. The same place that we come from, the earth. Then he said, for where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. You have to make peace in order to sow the word in the hearts of the people you love. You have to make peace. And the Holy Spirit is there to help you. He's going to guide you into all truth. You don't have to worry about the financial problems. If you can do these things, those problems will solve themselves. That's why Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added. As long as the kingdom of God is in the proper place on the highest shelf, put the kingdom of God on the highest shelf of your life, your vision, your faith.